Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Ah, good afternoon to another exciting Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, along with the handsomest, the sweetest, the most lovable and coolest, Mike. Cool Mike, how you doing?
I am doing wonderful. Love those introductions. Since I don't get them on other shows, it is nice, Annie, that you treat me with the proper respect. But I am great. Thank you. Glad to be here on this October 16th, Tuesday. Another exciting show lined up.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, today is an exciting day because we got the presidential debate tonight. And I'm going to be sitting there with my popcorn in one hand, the bottle of scotch in the other, and playing my drinking game.
It's, you know, I think that last debate got people more, I think more people are interested in this debate because of what happened on the last debate. I think if that last, the first debate was a kind of a blah, but here you got the Obama people, you know, thinking the president's going to come out with Uzis in both arms, shooting his machine guns. And the Republicans aren't sure what to expect from Mitt Romney. So I think that first debate kind of is making the second one a little more intriguing.
Yeah, well, if Romney goes the same exact way he did in the first debate, he'll do fine. Because the format he used in the first debate would actually can be moved from that format into the town hall format very easily with just minor tweaking. And I'm going to predict Obama's going to lose it. He's going to lose his cool. He's going to screw up somewhere along the way. I don't think he's going to be able to handle calm, cool Mitt.
Well, I think we'll see. As we know, in a town hall surrounded by his people with a moron like McCain, he did fine. Here, hopefully, Romney will be a little more aggressive. And to be perfectly honest, in front of anyone, unless you're a complete dumbass, all Romney has to do is basically present the case like a lawyer. He's had 4 years. stand up, who's better off for yours? And truthfully, how much are you better off if you are? Because the bottom line is, unless you're a filthy, filthy, filthy rich person who's going to do better off anyways, we're all, if you're middle class or below, you're nowhere, no way better off. I mean, you've at least lost a step. So,
well, remember when Obama was running, Wall Street bigwigs all got behind him. They're saying, oh, he's going to be good for business, this and that. We're going to say our corporate dollar is going to go behind Obama. Yesterday, those very same corporate bigwigs are saying, no, we were wrong. Obama's bad for the economy. He's bad for our stock prices and so on and so forth. They're putting their money behind Mitt. Very interesting. A very interesting move in the stock market yesterday.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I do think there could be a better candidate standing in the Republican ticket. But, you know, looking at it from an outside perspective, we're all critical of Romney. But, you know, what else could we really have asked for him to do in the first debate? He really did well. So, I mean, and I think the same thing. Unless that town hall is filled with people from, say, downtown St. Louis or East St. Louis, it should be pretty different. Plus, I don't know that with a town hall, Annie, it's a lot harder to go by the rules. You can be in a college auditorium and say, hold, don't clap, be calm. You can do that because the setting is quiet. Whereas in a town hall, those town halls are like little pep rallies.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little harder because, I mean, people will clap, people will cheer. What, are you going to escort them out? So we will see. We will see. This is why in that kind of setting, going back, I don't know how many years ago it was, that Ross Perot was in there, but those debates, I've gone back on YouTube and looked at them. Ross Perot did very, very well in town hall because basically he challenged the establishments, and Obama's the establishment.
Yeah. Well, why don't we get into our dedication, because we do have a guest coming up, and he should be calling in shortly. He was in a doctor's appointment, so he's calling in as soon as he leaves that. Our dedication today is to Marine Lance Corporal Jose Gutierrez. And those of you that listen know that every show we have started off now with a dedication to a fallen military hero. Actually, we need the Marine Corps anthem.
Okay, hang on a second. All righty.
Okay. This is from the Military Times. Marine Lance Corporal Jose Gutierrez died March 21st, 2003, serving during Operation Iraqi Freedom. Lance Corporal Gutierrez was 22 of Los Angeles, assigned to the 2nd Battalion, 1st Marine Regiment, 1st Marine Division, Camp Pendleton, California. He was killed in action in southern Iraq. Gutierrez was a native of Guatemala and put off going to college to join the Marines. When the first U.S. serviceman killed in combat in Iraq was not a citizen of the United States for which he sacrificed his life. Lance Corporal Jose Gutierrez was a rifleman with the Marines, and he died in a firefight on March 21st near Osar. Born in Guatemala, Gutierrez held a permanent U.S. resident status, which he obtained in 1999. At the age of 14, with his parents dead, Gutierrez followed the path of 700,000 of his countrymen to California.
Wow. I can't.
Oh, let's lower this a little bit.
Okay, I didn't know this was it. So anyway, okay. Go ahead.
All right. He followed the path of 700,000 of his countrymen to California. He made the 2,000-mile journey from his Guatemala City neighborhood without entry papers. He hopped 14 freight trains to get through Mexico. U.S. immigration authorities detained him. Fernandez Castillo, Guatemala's consul general in Los Angeles, says the United States doesn't deport Guatemalan minors who arrive without family. Gutierrez was made a ward of the Los Angeles Juvenile Court. He was placed in a series of group homes and foster families. He learned English and finished high school. When he reached 18, he got residency documents, Castillo said. Marcelo Mosquera, a machinist from Ecuador, and his wife, Nora, were the last couple that sheltered the lanky teenager. They cared for two younger foster children as well at their home in suburban Lomita, said Hector Tobar, a family friend. Neighbors told the Los Angeles Times that Gutierrez acted as the big brother, taking the younger kids to nearby McDonald's. Gutierrez talked of becoming an architect and put college plans on hold to join the Marine Corps a year later. Jackie Baker, the Mosquera's adult daughter, told Spanish-speaking KVEA-TV here that Gutierrez wanted to give the United States what the United States gave to him. He came with nothing. The country gave him everything. The U.S. Embassy notified Gutierrez's older sister, his only surviving relative, is his death, and he was buried in Guatemala at her request. Now, that is amazing, to have someone who is not a citizen of the United States to join the Marine Corps and serve our country and die for our country proudly. And to that, we dedicate the song by Todd Allen Herndon, My Name is America. You can find this up on YouTube and download it for free. This is to Lance Corporal Gutierrez.
Born in the grip of oppression, I fought. People, freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend, because my name is America. I stand proud. I stand for my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour, because my name is America. I stand for. If you heard me, I'll
Todd Allen Herndon, My Name is America. Man, I was going to mute my mic on that because I start singing on the thing.
Yeah, that sounds so awesome. Just our tribute. Yeah. I've gotten a lot of messages privately how people like our dedication. So good. And it's great to see great to see so many people in the chat room.
Yes, I want to thank everyone that is in the chat room. We're going to have a rocking show today. We have a guest on board. His name is Bob Calvert, and he's got a couple of websites. One is talkingwithheroes.com, and the other is thankyouforyourservice.com. Welcome aboard, Howard. Welcome aboard, Bob.
Hi, Ann. It's thankyouforyourservice.us. That's good.
Oh, did I say .com? I'm sorry. Thankyouforyourservice.us.
Okay.
I apologize. Right.
Yeah, that was great. I love that song, by the way. And the dedication was great. I appreciate that.
Bob, where are you? Are you in Harlem or Watts or something? I hear all these sirens behind you.
Actually, I had a doctor's appointment. I was telling Ann the other day, and I walked over to this park to be able to talk to you all on the phone. So I'm in Colorado Springs downtown, so who knows what we'll hear here.
I was going to say, if you can, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved with these two websites.
Well, my background has nothing at all to do with what I've been doing for the last 7 years. It's amazing how life can just change. But I raised my daughter by myself in Kansas City from the time she was 2 and a half. And at 18 years old, she surprised me and enlisted in the Army. I had never seen that coming, and so as a parent, parenting had just changed. I didn't know. I didn't have a clue what to do. That's about 10 years ago now, and so she went in, she went to basic training. I went down to Fort Leonardwood, and just amazed at looking, watching her. You know, the changes that had happened in just a short period of time, and then her boyfriend, but they since got married and have 3 children now. But her boyfriend, husband, they both ended up at Fort Riley. So about 2 years later, I moved there. I walked away from everything in Kansas City just to be close in Junction City. Life hasn't been the same since. I mean, I had a suggestion from some soldiers who were frustrated with the media reporting in Iraq. I was at the early stages because it was all negative. There was nothing about the positive things they were doing over there. And they said, if you'd like to help, start a talk show. And, of course, I've never done a talk show before. I have a clue what they're talking about, but I've been doing this now for 7 years. 2 years after I started it, I made my first trip to Iraq. I've made now, from 2006 to 2011, 5 trips to Iraq, 3 to Afghanistan. And basically what we did is we documented on video with the troops, civilians, and local people about the progress that has been happening there, which you don't see a lot on the media, unfortunately. And the positive stories, and it's all unedited footage. I have hundreds and hundreds of videos on YouTube now, and we're pushing close to 150,000 that have watched, which is neat. My goal is 1 million or more, because the stories are. I remember Paul Harvey used to end always, and now for the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. This is the part of the story that most of the American people have not heard. The great things that our men and women did over there. A humongous sacrifice, great sacrifice. Thousands of lives lost, and, you know, estimates I hear from military support groups and veterans groups I work with, hundreds of thousands with PTSD, TBI, thousands wounded with the injuries that they'll be living with the rest of their lives. And you know, at least we should hear about the great things they accomplished, that they did. It just, you know, I don't get into politics or anything with it, but that's what we've been doing. My last trip was last year, late last year. Made another swing from started in Iraq again, and that was the end of the Iraq part, because the end of the year that most of them came home, although we still have troops there. Right? Most people don't realize that. Not a lot, but we do have them there. So, then went through into Kuwait, went to a couple of bases in Kuwait, did some interviews there, and then went back into Afghanistan. So
wow.
It's been an interesting period of time. The last year has been like since I've been back has been, like, so different with surgeries and health issues, and I'm still dealing with them. I've got another surgery coming up in early, November 6th on my shoulder. And I don't know if I'll be going back again myself physically. I don't know if I can – my body's going to withstand it anymore. I'm now 66, so maybe my body's a little too old for this. I don't know. But I have veterans that want to go over. And so we're going to be working really hard to raise the money to cover the cost again. Hopefully early next year we'll have a team back over there.
Yeah, when you do the filming, you do have a team with you. It's just not you by yourself.
I made one trip by myself because the videographer last minute couldn't go, had some health issues. And I had to make a decision whether I continued and went on there. And so I let the public affairs officers know what was going on. And they said, just bring your camera. And I, at that point, I had never operated a video camera in my life. So it was interesting. But I picked it up pretty quick, and they helped me. But, yeah, I never would want to send anybody over again. It's just really, it's hard. It's, you know, you don't sleep much, and a lot of work, you know, carrying the equipment around and doing everything. But all the other trips, each place I would go, I'd have at least one person with me.
All right. And you're not just working with the military over in Iraq and Afghanistan. You also go around to support groups like VFWs and so on and so forth, too.
We've done a lot of that over the years as I could raise the money. I live on a small Social Security check, so I don't have any way to pay for all this myself, so I have to find sponsors. And it's become harder in the last year to accomplish that. But yeah, we've made a lot of trips. I'm hoping to be able to launch maybe as much as a 40-city tour next year. And all the cities that we'll go to will be where there's military bases. And the object of that is going to be to elevate the local military supported veterans groups to a higher visibility in those communities by creating an event that the media would cover, because they'll cover events. But just me popping in the city, they may not even come out at all. We have a whole plan for that, working with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Hiring our heroes job fairs.
Because we have over here in Beaufort, South Carolina, because we've got the Tri-Command here, Parris Island Recruit Depot, the Marine Corps Air Station, and the Naval Hospital. September, I believe it's the second week in September, we have the Independence Fund comes in with Lieutenant Dan Weekend. That's the Gary Sinise Band. And I've been supporting them for the last 3 years. And just before each weekend, before the Sneezy plays, he is interviewed by me, and then we do a live. Sounded like something went past you.
I'm sorry, some crap. Yeah, I think it's great that you would support them. I mean, they're doing an unbelievable job. I had hoped to cross paths with them on one of their trips over to Iraq or Afghanistan where they were entertaining, but just, you know, we were just there at different times. But I'd love to meet them someday and do an interview. It'd be great.
When you fly there, you leave out of Denver, I assume?
We have pretty much all the trips except for the first one, and we decided it was too risky to fly in a commercial plane after that because we were the only Americans on the plane. And I'm real visible on the Internet with my face, so... But basically what we've been doing is flying over on the troop plane, the R&R plane with the troops.
Oh, okay.
So like in Dallas, twice there I did filming with the USO there and the soldiers there that ran that. It's closed now, but ran that Dallas point, you know, where the soldiers would come back and forth. And then we did it in Atlanta. I did it again last year where we did interviews with them first. And then we would film as the troops are, like, the plane's coming in. We'd film as they're coming off the plane. We'd film as the ones that are going back, you know, walk around with the camera. And anybody that wanted to give a shout out, we'd do that. And hoping to do a lot more next year.
So you go from somewhere in America to where do you land in Afghanistan?
We fly with the troops into Kuwait. Ali al-Salam, to the military base there. And so we're on the military base, and then we go from there. Well, no more trips to Iraq, but Afghanistan would be like flying into Kabul or Bagram, depending on where the media team tell us to go, because we have to get our credentials. We have to have passes. You can't get in anywhere.
Let me play a clip I downloaded from your YouTube site, and everyone can get to your YouTube site through both of your websites, talkingwithheroes.com and thankyouforyourservice.us. And this one is Specialist Mark Simmons. He was with Fort Hood's Howitzer Battery in Iraq. And let me play this short clip so that people can get a sense of what you say and what you do when you talk to these guys. Here we go.
I want to thank you also for your service to our country.
Thank you.
Now, if you could tell the American people a little bit about yourself, how long you've served, and where you're from.
I'm Specialist Mark Simmons. I've been in the Army for 5 years. I did a deployment in Mosul from November of 07 to January of 09. And I've been here, this deployment, since August of 10. And leaving here shortly in August of 11.
Going back home.
Oh, yeah, going back home finally.
My son-in-law was in Mosul then with the 1-8 out of Fort Carson. I don't know if you served with them.
Really? Yeah, they were. They went over and they took over the eastern half of the city.
Right. Exactly. Well, we'll talk off the air about that. I wish I'd known that before we went on. We could have chatted about that. Okay, talk about a little bit, as you can, the differences as far as progress you've seen. Because Mosul, I don't know a lot that happened there. It is a big difference from what you're seeing now, right?
Oh, yeah. Mosul, it was a hotbed for my entire last deployment, and it still kind of is a hotbed. Compared to here, where not a whole lot is happening on the actual attack side. So I don't know how much that has to do with Muqtada al-Sadr, but...
Okay. We talked earlier about this, about care packages. Are you getting care packages from home or from organizations?
Yeah, I was. It's getting so close to the end of the deployment that mail has kind of dropped off. It's getting to the point where it's being forwarded back home so that we can have it when we get home and it's not floating around here forever waiting to get to us.
Yeah, I sent a care package to my brother in Afghanistan, but he's now home. He said it would be forwarded back to him. I said, okay, use it there, right, at Fort Benning. Okay, would you like to give a shout-out to some family and friends back home?
Yeah, like I say, I love you, Rebecca. Have fun in Afghanistan. Be safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Like I say hello to my family in Indiana. Don't do anything crazy. My sister in college in Bloomington. Have fun. That's it.
Okay. Well, I know you have to run. I appreciate you taking the time to come out and talk with us today. And
thank you.
We're looking forward to going on the mission later.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Now, one thing I noticed when I talk to, especially the wounded veterans, how humble they are. You know,
they
want to talk more about you than about themselves. You know, and also the other thing I wanted to point out is how important those care packages are to these guys.
Yeah. Yep. And it's needed more than ever right now in Afghanistan. I mean, in some of the remote locations, we were at some of them last year, but they're more isolated. They don't have a defect. They don't have a commissary. And, you know, they have to bring stuff out to them. And I've had so many of the troops would tell me this. It's like Christmas when they get those care packages, and just knowing that people back home really care, because it's hard to tell that sometimes watching the news.
Yeah, it is. It is very hard to tell. And thankfully around here, we are extremely military oriented. So we have a lot of organizations working in this area, but if anyone else out there listening, check to see what's going on with your AMVETs, your VFW halls, and see what they're doing. You know, they're always sending packages. They're looking for books, CDs, DVDs. They want things as simple as dental floss and shoelaces. You know, you never know what it is. You just check with them. It's probably something you have sitting around the house that, you know, you could pass on and make a troop happy.
Right. And you get involved. You know, there's, you know, the easy way to do it is just go to one of the search engines, type military support groups in your city, and see what comes up. you know, there's national organizations. They have volunteers across the country, like soldiersangels.org, and there's many different groups. There's and then the VFW, like you said, American Legion, AMVET. I had the honor in February to go, be flown out to D.C. My new friend, G. Mark LaFrancis, he's an Air Force veteran, came out and did the videoing, and we got to interview about 30 American Legion leaders and Sons of the American Legion, the Women's Auxiliary, and they all, you know, they all talked about their service, some all the way back to World War II, Vietnam, and they all gave a shout-out to the troops. Some of it was pretty emotional. You know, and they're all on one playlist on my YouTube page, and it's getting a lot of people watching. But the main thing we wanted to accomplish with that is to get those videos out to the troops. And we've heard the stories now where units have watched them and just really appreciated those men and women that, you know, sent their messages.
Yeah, absolutely. You said men and women. That brings me to mind here. You have Lieutenant Jessie Class. She was with 4th Drum's 10th Combat Aviation Brigade in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And let me play her clip right here.
Cool.
This is Lieutenant Jessie Class. Oops, if I hit the right button.
You could introduce yourself, where you're from, and how long you've served.
I am 1st Lieutenant Jessie Class. I've been in the Army 10 years, and I grew up in Arizona.
Okay.
Right now I am the Brigade Strength Manager. I oversee, like PFC Jones was saying, the numbers and count of all the personnel that we have here that fall under our brigade. As an officer in the office, I also get to oversee the actions and the wards and processing and things like that as assistant S1.
Great. Now, you also mentioned to me earlier that you are an Embry-Riddle Aeronautic University graduate, right?
I am.
Why don't you talk about that? They're actually a sponsor of this trip, made it happen.
Let's see, I started my journey with Embry-Riddle back in 2000. It's been a long time coming. I did all of my courses online, and they've actually were the best online school that I've come across. The accreditation is incredible. The learning edge makes it that much easier that when I do decide to leave the military, that I know that they're going to help me find employment after I get out. So I was very excited to be a part of the Embry-Riddle family. I graduated in 2008 with a Bachelor of Science in Technical Management. But overall, it's a great school, and I would recommend it to anyone who's aviation-related or not.
Okay, and you were taking courses still on a previous deployment, right? Or had you graduated already?
I had when I deployed, the first time I went to deploy, I didn't take any courses because of connectivity has grown immensely in the last 10 years since we've been over here. I mean, before we were up dial-up, and we could only be on for like 5 minutes at a time. But now all of the major locations have the internet connectivity that make online schooling possible.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing that. Now, what about care packages?
Care packages. I know we've had a number come across our end of this office. We've got really diligent NCOs who email out to all of the different organizations who have steadily kept our cabinet full of coffee, creamer, and popcorn. We've got plenty of toothpaste, so we've got the cleanest teeth in the world. but the care packages really do make a difference. We enjoy the support.
Are you getting letters, maybe from children or drawings?
Artwork. We get artwork sometimes, too, and that's really neat to see the just the different letters that they write, you know, and come back home safe, and little flags, and it's I really enjoy the artwork.
Good. Okay, why don't you look at the camera and give a shout-out to family and friends back home.
I'd like to give a shout-out to my mom and my boys back home at Fort Drum. Thank you guys for all your love and support. And my husband out in Jalalabad. I love you, baby. And to all of my fellow soldiers, keep up the good work. And to our fallen comrades, families, we miss them too.
Thank you. Your husband is in Jalalabad?
He is.
So he's serving out here, too?
He is. He's also part of the brigade.
Oh, okay. So do you get to see each other much, or?
We do every couple months or so. He's actually got a trip out here on Thursday.
Excellent.
For our anniversary.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I wish I could be here for that. That would be great. Great. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead and pass on.
Yeah, she's a good spokesman for that unit, isn't she?
I actually got to meet her husband. We were at one of the helicopter locations getting a flight out of Kabul. Oh, no, it was Bagram. And I saw her sitting there, and it was her husband. He was easy, right? Glass, their name's the same. It was fun. I would have loved to have broken out the camera and interview him, but we were racing, so we didn't. But, yeah, she's great.
I love how she's talking, and all of a sudden when it's husband, she's like, oh, I love you, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And then just some of the, you know, we talk a lot about how wonderful it is a young man graduates high school and how sadly it is he's fallen. How many married couples, I mean, husband and wives are involved.
Yep.
Towards, I mean, when something happens to a husband or a wife and it just shatters the family. I mean, we need to be so grateful for these people. And I don't know who screens these packages, because I know that a lot of them, there is no liquid allowed. But the one that I sent, I put a sticker on one of the cans of energy drink with my Facebook on there. And they got it, and they messaged me and were, like, taking pictures, and they said, please don't post these out. But, I mean, it is amazing. These people are almost, like, beyond grateful when you send them a couple cans of energy drink. I sent, Fruit Loops. I sent several boxes of cereal, the energy drink, a flash drive with a very nice movie enclosed. So, I mean, they were just so great. And he mentioned this was when they were in Iraq. He said they were obsessed with American movies because he thought the women were so beautiful in the movies. But to this day, I get messages just how grateful this person is. Been home now 3 years. I mean, they just appreciate it so much. It's almost as if you picked them up off the street.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, you have partnered with Embry-Riddle University. Tell us about that.
Well, every trip I made, I had to find a sponsor to cover the cost. And I was really starting to question whether we were going to be able to make the trip last year in 2011. And then a friend of mine who I had interviewed, Mark Leiden, called me and he said, you know, I think I can help you with getting a sponsor. And then he introduced me to the people at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and then they set up a conference call, and there was not hardly any hesitation on their part at all. They just said, send us a budget. And so I sent them a budget. And they approved it. They flew me out there. As a matter of fact, I did interviews with some of their key leadership that are on my YouTube page. I'm really supportive. And, we interviewed quite a few students in different places, mostly in Afghanistan and Kuwait. We went into some of the student centers, the Army student centers, where they would, you know, here they are in a war zone, but they're continuing their college education. You know?
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, the part about the husbands and wives, I have been amazed at how many that I've got to interview where both are over there at the same time. You think about that, the kids back home, mom and dad are both deployed, but many were, you know, where they're a husband and wife, like my daughter and her husband, you know, both in the military same time. One gets deployed and one's home, you know, and then there's single parents that are deployed over there, and their children are back home, and somebody, mom or dad or somebody in the family, is taking care of the children. But we need to thank, you know, my thing is whenever I see a service person, I'm holding out my hand and saying thank you for your service. You know, and I never did that before my daughter went in the Army. It never entered my mind. You know, everything changed. Once you get around these men and women, and just, they're just amazing, you know. They're amazing, and we owe a big debt of gratitude to them.
Yeah, that we do. You also have another project that you're working on, and I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong. Solave?
Oh, yeah. Here I am. I just had another surgery some months back, and I'm sitting here, and we had a team ready to go over to Afghanistan, and this brigade was waiting because they were frustrated. I was with them in Afghanistan in 2010, the Fort Carson Brigade. I was not able to raise the money, and I thought, no way, am I going to have to cancel this? And I had to. There was no choice. I mean, we were not getting any companies to respond. I even put out a fund appeal. You know, I asked people, I said, look, there's thousands of you following me on a social networking site. Could you just donate $10, $5? I figured if enough, then that didn't happen, so I had to cancel it. And so I realized that my years of 7 years of living on $700 a month, no car, no furniture, was about ready to have to end. I have to find a way to make money. And that I didn't want to do it, though, and take away from talking with heroes. You know, they say watch what you pray for. Sometimes you get a lot more than you prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
A good friend of mine, who's a professional fundraiser, sent me a video to watch. This is not more than 2 months ago now. And I watched it, and the first thing I could see is I could save money on my cell phone. And saving money when you're on a fixed income is very important, especially whenever all the costs are going up, but your income's not, you know. So I thought, okay, I'll do this. And then I saw that I could make money by sharing it as a customer. And I thought, I've never seen anything like this before. It resembled network marketing, but a little different because you're not recruiting people to sell. All you're getting customers. And then SolarVay rewards the customers with money if they share it with other people who become customers. It's the most easiest program I've ever seen in my life. And so I knew right then that God had answered my prayers. And that, but you have to talk to people. It's not like it's going to happen overnight. But I'm pretty sure that income from SolarVay is not only going to fund Talking with Heroes next year, but it already is. There's military support groups already enrolling. There's veterans groups enrolling. Most of the people that I've signed up as customers are veterans. You know, when they're looking at this, I mean, and then one guy, Dr. Leo, he's a civilian. I interviewed him in Iraq in 07, just missed him last year, but I interviewed the unit he was with the State Department and the Fort Drum soldiers, or Fort Hood soldiers, rather. And so he has been back a year now. He's been over there four times in Iraq. He's a professor, or was, at Eastern Carolina University. Made four trips over there, and he was like one of the leaders in the reconstruction projects in Iraq. And so he gets back. He's been back a year now, can't find a job. With all his, you know, his resume, just unbelievable. So I called him about it and told him, and he sat down. They watched the video just like I did. And he just called me back, and he said, I've never seen anything so professional like this. I mean, these are former executives of top corporations like AT&T and T-Mobile and Walmart and AOL and others that have all come together under the umbrella of SolarVay. And he said, and besides that, he said, we can save on our phones in our home almost $100 a month. He said, how do I sign up? You know? And now he's got other people that he has shared it with, and they're saving money. That's what it's all about, saving people money. And but the company SolarVay rewards you by giving you, instead of like, you know, you hear all these customer reward programs. I mean, mm-hmm. all the major stores, Walmart, they all have them, Walgreens. And what SolarVay does is they reward you with money. So it's really a neat program. I have a lot of hope for this. That, I mean, I believe this is going to be big. And I'm very pleased by the response that we're having from veterans, from organizations, and we're just getting started with it. So there's a truck down here that's chopping up a tree. I'll walk away a little bit because
don't do that. What you do is you start screaming, "Hey, we're on Southern Sense live on the air." That's what I do.
Yeah,
there
you
go.
I'm Southern. There you go. I'm walking away. Could I give that address? Actually, it's on my website. People could go check it out. I mean, it's $49 a month, unlimited everything. Text, voice, internet, and it's the network they signed a contract with is T-Mobile, but there's major contracts being signed right now with other big corporations with services that we all use every day, and they're going to save people money with those too.
All right, let's walk to a new location. I'm going to play a couple of PSAs, okay?
Okay, let me just cross the street right now.
Some do it for the money. Some do it for the fame. They do it for the common good.
People like Gary Sinise and others that come over there on the front line, they are part of the Army.
Discover the band that's taking rock to a new stage. From New York to Afghanistan and everywhere in between.
Gary's kind of like the leader of the pack, so to speak.
He makes it happen. It's the thing that's the most important to me, and I know it is to Gary.
The military, I have to say, everyone who joins our military has a heroic vocation.
There's a kind of sacrifice that just cannot be ignored and I think needs to be honored.
No mistaking what we're there for.
I like to play concerts that people are going to walk out thinking it was better than they thought it was going to be. Because people don't have high expectations for an actor with a band, let's face it.
I just wanted to say thank y'all for thanking us.
Lieutenant Dan Band for the Common Good, now on DVD.
Join Doc Jones as he kicks off primetime with the Sit Rep. Weekdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Dr. C. Robert Jones is a retired Marine officer with a PhD in history, and he keeps up with the day-to-day events and analyzes and explains with historical facts and in an informed opinion. Gojo Media is dynamic and fresh, so please catch the Situation Report every weeknight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
On your Friday night. Join the Reactionary Speak Radio program. Each and every week, we bring you the very best political commentary. We break down the documents that directly affect you and the country. We are the new media, and we will not be silenced. That is the Reactionary Speak Radio program. On from 8 to 10 p.m. Friday nights, here on Blog Talk Radio. Political discourse has gone from no sense to nonsense. Try and make some sense of it and join Southern Sense. Cool Mike and Annie are holding forth from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern here on Blog Talk Radio on Tuesdays and Fridays. Regain the civility, regain the high ground, and annoy a liberal. That's Annie and Cool Mike on the Southern Sense radio program here on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back. You're in a good area now, Bob?
Yep. I'm on another side street here. This is a first for me.
All right, I got a question now. You have some of these military guys that actually post articles on your site, thank you for your service, don't you?
Thank you for your service.us is an online news site, and I get stories every day. They come in from the public affairs officers in Afghanistan. The same articles I get go out to hundreds and hundreds of media, but unfortunately, you very rarely see them. I don't know why that is. I'm just confused about it. But there's days where I'll spend 5 hours just putting in stories. There's stories about veterans issues, PTSD, TBI, and noticing a real increase in the number of support organizations that are being started by veterans themselves. Just had another one the other day, a retired colonel. They're starting their own groups because they know what they go through, and they know what to do to help. But there's a lot of them now, and so whenever I make contact with a new one, I encourage them to send me a story. You know, tell about yourself, what you're doing, and how people can contact you, how people can get involved. But, yeah, the stories come in every single day. Eventually, I want to upgrade the format I'm using to a really cool magazine format. I know what I want. I've seen it. I've tested it. But, you know, got to raise the money to do it. But it'll take it to a whole other level.
Now, can people, you know, regular people that are not military, sign on to the site so that they get your news updates or anything like that?
People can go to thankyouforyourservice.us anytime they want. They don't have to sign in. They don't have to take a membership, or it's free. They can go anytime they want and know that we add stories every day. I also, when I add the stories, I tweet them now, which is getting a lot more people reading the stories. I put them on my LinkedIn page. I put them on my Thank You For Your Service US Facebook fan page. And, you know, I wanted to mention also, if it's okay, on the videos on YouTube, I've noticed a lot more comments coming in by soldiers and military families, or a relative who sees their loved one, you know, or I'm seeing posts coming on from soldiers who, like, they'll be reading what we did in Iraq last year, and they'll go, well, wait a minute, I was there 2 years ago, and this looks totally different than when we were there. It's the progress, you know, that most of the people in America just have not heard about. And we're working really hard to change that. You know, I always ask everybody, if you like the videos when you're watching them, then you become the media. Tell other people about them.
All right, Mike, I know you've got some questions here.
Well, first of all, thank you for what you're doing. This is amazing. I mean, not only getting sponsorships, but, I mean, just this is like – where did you get this idea? I mean, you kind of touched on it, but, like, walk us through. This is unbelievable. I mean, it's like, it's almost like you've reached out and you've done a bunch of things. And, I mean, you've gotten sponsors. And on top of that, wow. I mean, okay, walk us through the first time where you thought, you know, this would be kind of cool. Because you had mentioned you never did a show before. And then now you're going over there and you're doing interviews. And you're also not even an affluent person. Amazing.
Well, actually, the original idea came to me from a Special Forces soldier. And I've always agreed, and I've never mentioned his name because of what he does, but we got to be friends. I actually met him at Fort Bragg once with some of his buddies. And he called me one day, and he said, Bob, if you'd really like to help us, start a talk show. Give us a format where we can get the other side of the story out, where we can get our story out. And then he put me in touch with a friend of his who was doing an internet radio program, All Music. But there was no way I could do it on there. And then I found out about another network similar to Block Talk Radio, and just started up. I had a Sunday night 1 hour program, just like, you know, you're doing. People would call in, and people started calling in from Iraq, soldiers, and one thing led to another. Next thing I know, in 06, I made my first trip over there. Another one in 07 before the surge, and then another one after the surge. And the difference, like, just in Baghdad alone was like night and day. You know, we're able to capture that on video. And been doing it ever since.
Wow. So, okay, t- tell me about like your first. This is amazing. Tell me about like your first trip. Okay. God, I almost don't even know how to say this. It's just, it's like I'm kind of jealous. I wish I would have thought of this idea. But your first trip, okay, you're with the troops flying out of the United States to Kuwait. What's going on the airplane and stuff?
Well, a lot of them, you know, they're sleeping. It's a long flight over. Some of them are talking, and, you know, you get to talk a little bit, but, you know, respect their privacy. And, you know, the planes are commercially leased planes. They're from the commercial airlines. And, you know, the food's great. They just feed you a lot. I'm not one to sleep a lot while traveling, though, so that's always been a problem for me. And, you know, it's always never ceased to amaze me, these men and women, is they'll just sit down in their seat and a little while later they're out like a light. Never been able to sleep like that.
When you land, it's your very first time. How hard is it to start getting in the rhythm? I mean, you're getting your credentials. You're going to actually, for the first time, you're going to go talk to troops. I mean, gosh, this is amazing.
Well, the first time, it was the Minnesota National Guard that had invited me to do this on a audio program I did with some of their soldiers, with a brigadier general who had organized it and encouraged me to come over. And so I really wasn't sure to take him serious or not until they called me back. And I realized they were serious. So what happened was they had a captain. He met me in Kuwait, and there was a videographer that was supposed to be my videographer. I mean, he finally showed up and told us that he had had a change of plans. He was going over with a unit his son was in a year before or something, and he said, "See you later." And so I'm standing there with no camera, nothing, but the captain was, you know, he wasn't happy with this guy at all. But anyway, he took us in, requisitioned the camera, and we were on just wherever he went, wherever he took me. I mean, he took me where I had to get my credentials. And so the next time I went over, I had been contacted by the CEO of a cable company here in Colorado called Altitude.tv. And Jim Martin, the CEO, his daughter's in the military. His son was in the military. He was Army and Marines. And him and I teamed up twice in 2007. We went over together. But by then, we knew where to go, how to get our credentials, you know, where to put in the paperwork to get approved. And, you know, we always, every trip we've made, we always know what units we're going with before we even leave the country. Everything's pre-planned.
Hi, Bob, you sound like you're in a really interesting area right now. You got church bells
like
going on behind you.
Kindergarten, recess there, kindergarten there.
All right, well,
I'm across the street from a church. Yeah, you're right.
Bob, we got another guest on the line also. It's Eric Eversole, and he's with the Military Voters Project. Good afternoon, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you all?
All right.
Hey, welcome, my friend.
We also have online with us, Eric, Bob Calvert, and he's with Talking with Heroes. He does videos of the military and veteran groups.
Great. It's nice to meet you all.
So yes, I'm glad I got the two of you on, because here you're trying to help the military with getting their votes out, and he's out there trying to help them get their voices out through video. So you two make a good pair today.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's really, I think both of it's really about getting their voices out and making sure that our service members are their voices aren't lost in all of the commotion that goes on in our daily lives. And, over the last decade, I think most Americans would agree that our service members have made some of the greatest sacrifices of anyone in this country. And, you know, it's important to hear their voices. It's important to know where they stand on issues and what they have at stake, not only now, but in the coming years.
Yeah, that's true. Now, right now, they've got four states where the military are not receiving their absentee ballots: Vermont, Michigan, Mississippi, and Wisconsin. What is it that your group is doing to help them?
Well, I'll tell you right now, you can add Massachusetts to that state, too. They got the ballots out a little bit late there as well. We're watching the issue very closely, and we have been for about a couple of weeks. We've known about this. You know, our biggest thing is that we want to make sure that, and I'll tell you right now, let's be clear about something. I don't care who brings the case. I don't, you know, it's not a run to the to the finish line. This is about making sure that our service members have their rights protected by courts of law. And so, you know, one of the things we did yesterday, I sent a letter to the Attorney General. And one of the things that the 2 points that I wanted to make clear to the Attorney General, first and foremost, you need to wrap up these investigations very quickly. As each day passes, it deprives service members of their opportunity to vote, and it makes it more likely that they'll be disenfranchised on Election Day. So if there's a case there, great, bring it. Let's get going. If there's not a case, then, you know, let's be clear to the American public that there isn't a case and that you've looked at this issue closely and that you believe the service members have their rights protected. But just don't sit there and be quiet. The second thing that we emphasize in this letter, and it's very important, is that they have to make sure that when they settle one of these cases against the state that didn't get the ballots out on time, the relief has to be effective. It has to protect every service member's right to vote. And one of the things that we've seen over the last couple of years, and I'm sure everybody remembers the nightmares from 2000, but we are once again seeing a lot of absentee military ballots coming back without postmarks on them. A lot.
Oh, man. Now, they were supposed to get the ballots out 45 days ahead, and we've got, what, 22 days till the election?
That's right. So, right now we're 23 days where they've had time to investigate. And you know, it's time to bring these cases if you're going to bring them. And if there isn't a case, then, you know, tell the American people why there isn't a case. I mean, you know, most of these are allegations right now. And our service members need to know, you know, whether their ballots have been sent out. And if they haven't, what's the remedy?
Now, on your site, I was looking at, you've got a link on there where if the military has access to the Internet, they can actually obtain an absentee ballot. Is that what, am I looking at that correctly?
That's right. And it's a great, we just put this up today. This is our big push from here until the election. There is a great tool that a lot of service members don't know about. It's called the Federal Write-In Absentee Ballot. And it's basically a ballot that's good in all 50 states. And it basically allows a service member, if they have, and it has two functions. In every state, it allows a service member who hasn't received his or her absentee ballot to write in their candidates of choice, at least for federal office. So your president, your Senate races, your House races. And that has to be counted nationwide. That's one function. But some states, including North Carolina and Virginia, actually allow the service member to register and vote with this form. So even if you have a service member that's in Norfolk or Camp Lejeune that hasn't yet been able to register, hasn't had enough time or you know, didn't know the deadline was quickly approaching, in some states, and Missouri is another one of these states, you can actually use this form all the way up until Election Day to register and vote your ballot. And it's a great, great tool. I think if the service members look at it, we've tried to keep this application as simple as possible. They can very, very quickly download this form and you know, get it in the mail. And so one of the things we're really trying to emphasize at this point is that it's not too late. There are many options available, but, you know, we need to hear your voice.
Yeah. Now, you have a legal background. You were under the Bush administration, one of his lawyers, and you've also worked with the Heritage Foundation. What made you get involved with this MVP project?
Well, let me tell you, I actually started, my legal background started back in 1999, and I was a young Navy JAG officer. It was my first job as a lawyer. I went into active duty in 99, got out in 2001. And I didn't think much about it at the time, but election after election, you know, the election would come and election would go, and none of my brothers and sisters in arms were voting. And I didn't think much of it at the time because, you know, there are other things that you concentrate on, you know, like the mission. But it really didn't dawn on me what a widespread problem we have in the military with voting until I started to work at the Department of Justice in the voting section. And I saw election after election where one roadblock after another would prevent our service members from voting. And those roadblocks consisted of things like, you know, before the law used to say that states could send out ballots 30 days before the election. Well, guess what? If you're sending a ballot out 30 days before an election to Iraq or Afghanistan, it's probably not going to come back in time to be counted. That was one roadblock. Other roadblocks were even more pronounced. And it was just a challenge. And there was, I'll tell you, what really bothered me, even when I was at the voting section, there was a real failure to understand the challenges and the difficulties of serving overseas and trying to vote in that, you know, in that environment. It's not like you're sending a ballot halfway, you know, a couple states, you know, down the road. You're sending it halfway around the world into a combat zone, and it creates so many unique challenges and so many delays associated with voting. And I saw this, and it was just, it was widespread. I remember seeing after the 2006 election, just, you know, thousands of ballots not being counted, and these service members were trying to vote. And, you know, you can imagine when this happens year after year, what a detrimental impact that has on troop morale. And at some point, you know, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, some people start to give up. And what we want to do, and part of the reason I started this, was tell them not to give up. There's an organization out there that I founded back in 2010 that's going to stand up and fight for their rights. And that's what we do. We stand up every day to make sure that their voices are heard. And, you know, we've obviously, we're not afraid to fight for them. We, you know, our motto is a pretty simple one. We fight as hard for their rights as they're fighting for ours.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm
looking at some of the stuff that you have on your website, and you write on there, our report from 2010 election showed a significant decrease in military voter participation. In that election, only 5% of the military voters were able to successfully vote by absentee ballot. 5%?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, this is the stuff that has been, you know, for years just kind of thrown under, you know, swept under the carpet. And these numbers, I mean, these numbers were provided to our organization via the states. The states are required by federal law to collect this data, and we reported it. And we went through there, and we started to look at some of the reasons why I think the numbers are so low. Now, of course, this doesn't account for the people who vote in person, and there is a segment of the population in the military that does vote in person, but it's usually only about 30% of the active duty military vote in person. And a lot of that has to do with tax reasons, and, you know, a lot of service members, they get shipped for Florida for one tour of duty, they get Florida residency, they keep it, even though they move all around the world after that. But 70% of our service members vote absentee, and you can imagine if only 5% of 70% voted, that's not acceptable.
Yeah, I have to get with you. I have to get with you regarding our in my local. We have this is a local election where one of the candidates fixed the election. Well, this was after I think about 500 servicemen and women voted absentee, and of all things to do when it comes to elderly, handicapped, special needs, our military people who vote absentee for good reasons they can't get around.
Sure.
To fix an election is almost even worse because, number one, is you're making it hard for them to vote absentee. They're in Afghanistan with guns being shot at. Last
yep.
thing they're thinking about is, you know, your local treasurer for your county. And,
yep.
then you have RPGs going off. You got tanks blowing up. And they're like, hey, what do you think about Proposal 2? Like,
right.
Yeah, but I mean, and basically, it's very degrading. It's almost like spitting in their face or saying their vote doesn't count. And I have to get with you on this because in just two and a half short weeks, we're going to be voting. And for the primary, our military people were not even informed. Since you voted absentee, these new issues have been arisen. And basically, the Republican Party, which was almost 100% behind it, was, well, it's up to the voter to inform, they need to be active on the issues. Well, that's very true for you and me and Annie, but if you're in Afghanistan or Kuwait, especially if you're in areas where there is active combat going on, you're being shot at by, the Mujahideen or whoever, you're not really concerned on what's going on at a local election.
Right. Well, I think part of it's just, I try to put people in this mindset. And we've obviously released some reports here recently that show that the turnout, the number of absentee ballots that have been requested in this election are much lower than they were in 2008. That's very disappointing. I think a lot of it has to do with the Department of Defense. But, part of what people have to understand about this issue, and it gets back to this education process, in the military – let's put it in the context of your average civilian. And, most people, most of your average citizens, don't really start thinking about the election or get excited about the election until the first debate. And then people start to think about, okay, heard the debate, I'm getting excited, I want to vote, I'm ready to participate. The problem for U.S. service members is that they can't wait until the first debate to ask for that absentee ballot, because if they do, it's too late. Too many states have deadlines that, over half the states, as of right now, already closed registration. And so, what really has to be done here is to get service members to get that absentee ballot request in much sooner. Now, and that's something we're going to certainly push in the future, but right now we're trying to get and help every single service member that we can possibly help between now and the election to make sure that their voices are heard. And that's our only priority. We're working around the clock to make that happen. We just launched this new on heroesvote.org. We just launched this new tool that allows them to, in many instances, to register and vote by a federal write-in ballot. It's a good way to participate, even if it's not, doesn't include the local issues, but it's still a good way to get your voice registered, at least in the federal elections, and that's still important. I mean, this is a long-term process of kind of correcting, decades, if not centuries, of being mistreated at the polls and being significantly underrepresented.
Now, a year ago or so, weren't you on Fox? With glasses was interviewing you.
That was Eric Sean, and yeah, I do have that clip that we could play. We got a caller coming in, and
sure.
Thomas. Let me see if I can get this caller in. And Thomas had a question for one of you. Thomas, what was your question?
My question is actually for Bob. I moved from Kansas City to Wichita, Kansas. I'm working with a friend who's running for Kansas State Senate. And my problem is because I'm here for a short term, I have to vote absentee ballot. But in light of what you just told me about our military veterans, only 5% of their ballots were counted. Does that make it even easier for someone, especially being that I'm a conservative, does that make it easier for my ballot to be thrown out since I'm an absentee voter?
I think
that's probably
should be
a
for
question
Eric.
For Eric. Yeah.
I mean, the short answer is I don't think so. I mean, I think that the process for counting absentee ballots are much like the process for counting regular ballots. It's done typically in the county you did it, whatever county it was back in did you say Kansas? They're going to count it, and they're probably going to have an election judge from each side go through these absentee ballots. They're going to make sure that you're properly registered. They're going to make sure that you signed and dated it. And if they do, it'll be taken right out of the envelope and stuck right in a counting machine. It'll be counted just like every other ballot.
Okay.
So the short answer is this is true with a lot of absentee ballots. Typically when you go to vote in person, you have election officials there helping you through the process. And a little more of some of that responsibility gets transferred to the voter when you start talking about in the absentee voting context. You just have to make sure it's signed and dated. Make sure you sign the affidavit envelope, follow the instructions closely, and get it in the mail with plenty of time, and you shouldn't have any problems.
Yeah, it's funny because I had – The only time I ever used an absentee ballot was when I was married to my ex-husband, who was in the Marine Corps. And I remember having to do that because I was living in Massachusetts, but a resident of New York. And they didn't make it easy for you. And that was back in the 80s. So it should be easier with today's electronic age, but it's not.
And that's right. It's not, unfortunately, is it? You know, there's still significant challenges to voting. It is, you know, especially when you do it absentee. You know, like I said, you know, we recognize this. I mean, we try to keep our functions, our website materials, as simple to understand as possible. I would ask you, you know, one of the things we did, we created a little how-to video of how to complete your absentee ballot so that it counted. And that's, you know, I think that, you know, these kind of step-by-step visuals are very helpful to, you know, and look, I mean, most of these service members are 18, 19, 20 years old. Yep. They may have never voted in their lives before.
Exactly.
And so it's not, you know, I mean, if you're 40 and you've been to the polls a half a dozen times, or you're a lawyer like I am, you know, maybe you can read this and figure this out. But then you throw on the top of the fact that these young men and women are 18 to 19, 20 years old. It's the first time they voted. They're in combat zones. They got a lot on their mind. It's a process. It's not, you know, it's got more roadblocks in it than it does free access, you know, free access. And it's a challenge. It really is.
I have a question I want to throw out there, and I don't know, I don't want to draw politics into this, but how much is it due to politics simply because maybe a current type political group doesn't want these votes counted, so they drag booty on it?
Yeah, you know, I've answered this question lots, and I firmly believe this. I don't believe that politics, you know, that at least the current situation is due to politics. I just don't. I mean, the Pentagon has been messing this issue up for decades. Decades. They messed it up during the Bush administration, and they're messing it up right now. And it's really something, you know, I blame it more on bureaucratic inertia inside of the Pentagon. And you know, for those of your listeners that have served, we all know that the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, our services, they do a tremendous job at keeping us safe and war fighting. But when you start going down to non-war fighting issues, they're not very good at some of these things. And we've seen this with their treatment of PTSD and other issues that affect service members. They just don't do a good job until somebody comes along and says, you know what, we demand a higher standard. And we need greater efforts from the Pentagon in this area. And that's part of what we're trying to do. But I've seen this, you know, I've over 20 years or 17 years of service now, I've seen this time and time and time again in the Pentagon. And again, it's nothing more or less than bureaucratic inertia.
That I find amazing. And each state has its own laws, but they should be able to, at this point, know what they are and get everything done right. Maybe, Bob, you can hook up with Eric here and get something on your site so these troops out there know that this is available to them.
That'd be great. I'd be happy to do so.
Eric, if you could email me an article as a text file about what you're doing and then your logo as a JPEG file, and especially about that link you talked about, because obviously there's not a lot of time left. I'm just shocked at hearing all this. You know, and I know, what, a month or so ago, there was a lot in the news about, you know, extending time for certain states, and it seemed like it had turned into a political thing because they were saying, well, if we extend the time for soldiers, then we got to extend the time for everybody.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Well, that was
that
the Ohio
political
lawsuit.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Ohio. But anyway, if you could email me a story about what you're doing, I'll get it in my news site. Thank you for your service.us.
That was really an insulting comment when I don't believe it was Secretary of State. I think it was the Undersecretary from Ohio made that statement. You know what? We should hold the election up till they can vote. I mean, this is just so insulting and degrading.
Yeah.
How many of us walk outside and our life is at stake? How many of us go to the store and we're perfectly safe, or we go to the malls, or we're getting ready for Halloween? I mean, these people are in battle. In combat, they have people wanting to kill them, and for some reason, we're basically saying, "Well, we shouldn't treat them any different. Hello, dumbass.
Yep.
I mean, that, these people better pray I never become president, because I'll tell you, I'll make Saddam and all them guys look like angels. These idiot bureaucrats, they make stupid statements. A lot of these people are permanently, even some that survive, many who come home, they're permanently damaged from killing people, from seeing stuff you and I never even imagined to see. And I know you're a Navy man, you probably have. But, you know, the person who said war is hell knew what they were talking about.
Yep.
Yes.
If you think about it, in Iraq and Afghanistan, our troops have been over there basically protecting the local people so they could vote. And now we're hearing that our own troops are not being able to vote. That is absurd. That is so ridiculous.
Well, you know, there's an image from, you know, from the, I guess, the first Iraqi election that kind of burns in my mind as I fight every day. And it's the picture of the women holding up their purple fingers after
yeah.
they exit a polling place for the first time. It's being protected by U.S. service members.
Right.
And sitting there knowing that while this person was so, you know, happy because they were able to, you know, vote, that service member that's protecting that polling place very well may have had their voice deprived. And that's the image that, you know, keeps me motivated every day, because they deserve to have their voice heard. You know, part of this problem, and it's the thing that has been, I think, one of the most frustrating things for me over the last, you know, couple years. Congress tried to fix this in 2009. They really did. And it was one of the few bipartisan bills. The bill that is called the MOVE Act, Military and Overseas Voter Empowerment Act, came out of Congress in 2009 unanimously. Not a single dissent. Unanimously in 2009. And the law was supposed to provide additional opportunities for service members. And one of the key requirements was that when a service member checks into a new duty station, when that pay clerk or that manpower clerk hands that person a bunch of forms, why not provide them one additional form that allows them to update their registration and request an absentee ballot, and then have the Pentagon forward that to the state official? So you take all the uncertainty out of it for the service members, and you help them administratively make sure that they're election ready. And
well, also, is it possible, based on what you're doing, that maybe Soldier A could basically fill out a form that says, send the absentee ballot to my house, my mother has my proxy on this? Or is that illegal?
Well, you can't have your you can't, even like in a situation where you have a power of attorney, you can't have someone with the power of attorney vote it for it. It is illegal, and I would not recommend doing that. But that being said, you know, I mean, the registration part of it, you know, again, it's about making sure that they've registered and request an absentee ballot early enough in the process, so when the election starts to cook up and everybody gets excited about it, they're not scrambling to register or request an absentee ballot. That ballot arrives for them, and whether they return it or not, that's up to their good conscience. But, you know, make it so that it's there and let them make the decision whether they want to participate or not. And you know, this is this registration notion that I just talked about, it's the same thing that civilians get every time they walk into a driver's license branch. And all your listeners know that when they walk to their driver's license branch, one of the first questions that are asked by the person behind the counter is, do you want to register to vote or update your registration? And
man,
so military members have promised the same thing in 2009. The Pentagon didn't deliver it, and now we're dealing with a real mess. And we need to, you know, we can, and I've told people this too, we can talk about this after the election and figure out what went wrong. Right now, there's still time, and let's try to help as many of these service members have their voices heard in this election as possible.
Do you have a Facebook page, Bob?
Hang on a second. I muted for a second because he had some traffic behind him.
Well,
Bob, Mike was asking if you had a Facebook page.
Sorry about that. Yeah, the main one is Talking with Heroes, and then I have two fan pages. One is Talking with Heroes Program, and the other is Thank You for Your Service U.S. I post all my stories on the Thank You for Your Service U.S. Facebook page.
All right, we're down
to
our
last. How about you,
Eric?
Does Eric have a Facebook?
We do. We have two Facebook pages. We have one at the Military Voter Protection Project, so that should be MV as in Victor, PP, so there's two P's there, ROJECT, so MVP Project and Heroes Vote.
Okay.
And both of them are .org, not .com, .org.
Yep.
We're down to our last 4 minutes here, Bob. You want to do a closing statement?
I want to thank you for your service to our country, Eric, and what you're doing. You're an example of what I mentioned earlier of a veteran. You're out of the military now, but you're still serving, and I really appreciate that. So I want to thank you for that. I would just ask people to, you know, go watch the videos. Go to the YouTube page and go to talkingwithheroes.com. You'll see the YouTube link, and just go watch the videos. And as you watch them, I'm sure you'll be thinking of a lot of people that you know would like to see them. And so, you know, help get the word out about those videos and our troop stories. And thank you for your service.us. The stories are added daily. And like I said earlier, most of these stories you're not seeing anywhere else. And so, again, you can become the media and just share those stories with other people.
Okay, thank you, Bob. And you're welcome to come back anytime. Thank you for your service
for
our military.
It's an honor to do this.
Both of you guys, I mean, we are talking about, both of you guys are truly in our eyes, you are heroes of we the people. I mean, because it's one thing to talk about, yeah, good for our soldiers, we cheer them on. You guys are actively doing things to make sure not only they're not forgotten, but make sure that they are extended the constitutional rights and their family rights here at home while they're serving overseas. Amen to both of you.
Eric, you got a closing statement, and I will shoot over to Liz the information on Bob for you.
I really appreciate it. Well, thank you for having me on, and Bob, thank you for your service as well. I can't tell you how important it is to have, you know, the stories of our service members' life, talked about and out in the general public, because it does matter. I mean, having people understand what our service members face, I mean, we're definitely going down the same path, because it is, more people need to know what it's like to be a U.S. service member and the extreme challenges they face. One thing I would emphasize, there's still time to vote, heroesvote.org. And, if the answer is not on the website, you know, there's a contact page, contact us. We'll respond immediately, but we're here to help.
Oh, thank you so much, Eric. And you're welcome back anytime. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we should actually have Eric fill in sometimes if one of us can't make it. Wow. What heroes? I mean, this is – oh, I see we're down to a minute, so I'll let it go. But thank you, gentlemen, and thank you, everyone. Annie, what a great show. How fast?
Yes. And Friday is going to be even more fun, because we're going to have an open round table. We're going to have Dr. Jones. We're going to have Ed Denzel. We're going to have Erica Coyle, our little nursey. And we're going to have a fantastic show. Joe Goldner is going to be joining us also. So we're going to have the best of BTR doing a round table with us on Friday.
Yeah, see if Joe wants to bring his co-host. You ever listen to that pistol? Ooh, she's a gunfire.
Well, want to remind everyone, tonight is the debate, so I hope you tune in and bring your bowl of popcorn so you can throw it at the TV. So until then, we see you on Friday. Same bat time, same bat station. Good night, and God bless.
Good afternoon, everybody.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American.